5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Learner's Permit, Thursdays on my YouTube. Subscribe today. La Jolla, thank you so much. We sold out some more shows down there, man. We've hit them now in Indy, Baltimore. We've hit them in Cleveland, in La Jolla. Thank you so much for your support. Austin, unfortunately, has to be rescheduled. The club is not going to be open in time. And Kansas City, I can't wait to get to your wonderful town. I'll be there January 20th through the 22nd. Get your tickets for those dates and all dates at RyanSickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Dates, the Nightpants Nation tour is going fucking great. I can't thank you enough for your support. Coming up next is La Jolla. What's that? December 15th through the 17th and Austin, January 6th through the 8th. Tickets available at RyanSickler.com. YouTube. Listen, this channel continues to grow and grow and grow. And, I can't thank you enough for that either. So I know you're watching, please subscribe. And, the Patreon is just, it's like, I don't know. It's like, how do you pick your favorite kid? That damn show has the wildest stories. And it's $5 a month. And yeah, I do know that's a lot of money for some people. Absolutely. I know that's a utility bill. I know it's a cell bill. I know that. $60 a year. But if you sign up for a year, you'll save a little bit of money. You'll get over a month free. All right. I'm doing everything I can to keep costs low and keep bringing you good shit because y'all have not let me down. If y'all know someone or you have that story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. Hopefully we get to do an episode together. All right. The website here, the Honeydew Podcast. Oh, sorry. honeydewpodcast.com. And merch is still all stocked up. Holidays are here, man. Get your Honeydew merch for holidays. Makes a great gift. Okay. Now, you know what we do here? We highlight the lowlights. These are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest back on the Do. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Lana Negrete. Welcome back to the Honeydew, Lana. Yeah, you got
clap
it.
For myself.
Fuck yeah, clap yourself in. Not enough people do. All right. First of all, thank you for coming back.
Thanks for
you look fantastic as always. People don't see your cowboy boots, but maybe we can get them in the picture.
I mean, I could put them up, girl. Can I see them?
Mm-hmm.
That's Nashville.
Please, before we get into everything we're going to talk about today, plug, promote everything you would like.
First and foremost, Outreach Through the Arts, the nonprofit Ryan works on with me as well. We've had a rough year, but we've built some amazing programs that are coming out. So I definitely want to plug Otta. OTTArts.org is where you can go to find out more about all the programs we're doing and the kids we're serving and how you can help contribute with time or money. And then, of course, you know, Santa Monica Music Center, Culver City Music Center. Those are the two spots that I own. My family business for music lessons, instrument needs. We've got you covered. Podcast studios now.
That's right. We'll talk about that.
And we're about to open up our live recording studio as well. So if, whether you want to learn because you're a novice or you're a professional and you need a space, that's where you can go. SantaMonicaMusicCenter.com. You can look at both locations from that website. And then lastly, by the time this comes out, I'll be gearing up to campaign for City Council, Santa Monica.
Santa Monica City Council.
So I'm on there now. I was appointed, but I'll be running my campaign for election next November. So if you're in Santa Monica and you can vote, please vote for me. If you're not, please move and register to vote.
Give me a tally, please.
Let me just get some votes.
Fuck yeah. All right. So we have a little bit to talk about here. First of all, this blew me away. The small world story that happened after your first. So I want to say this. Also, there's links on the Honeydew podcast website as well. You can go there to get anything to reach out to Santa Monica Music Center. So we did the first episode, which if you don't know who Lon is, you want to know, go listen to that first episode. It actually is a really great episode. And after that, some things start popping off and in the community and people are hearing this and that. And an article gets written.
And, I mean, is that what you call that?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it. It gets, you know, whatever. Some trash gets thrown out, blows across the street. And our neighbor, this man, comes up and approaches you, correct?
Yep.
And how long would you say after that episode?
Probably like, I mean, it had to have been, when did we do that one?
God.
It's like a year after, because I was already on City Council, which is kind of how it came about. But I think, I don't know if he listens to your podcast or if it's because one of the council
article,
members.
Maybe.
Article, whatever.
So what you referenced specifically in that podcast that we're talking about is that what happened to you?
So seventh grade, I was 12.
Dosed, right?
Yeah, put acid in my drink. I don't know that I named him, but maybe I did. Anyways, it's my experience. It's my information.
It led to a bunch of shit.
Oh, yeah. It led to a bunch of shit. For me, in my childhood, it was a pivotal moment for me for sure. It was trauma, if you will. But I guess it also was for him. So when that happened, he never apologized or never reached out to me. As a matter of fact, I felt the opposite in the encounters that I had with him after that, that maybe he felt the victim somehow. I don't really know. But post that, he's standing there. And I'm looking at this person, look at me, and I'm like rushing
right
out
outside.
Of the, right outside in the garage. And he's using the space that the landlord, who we love so dearly.
Oh, what a gem.
Rents out over there. And he's like, Lana, I think he said Lana Fernandez, which when anyone uses my maiden name, I'm like, oh, you know me from high school or before. And then as I'm looking at him, I realize who it is. And he's like, it's me. So he wanted to schedule some time.
It was him. It was the guy.
And I haven't seen or talked to him.
Who rents next door to your family fucking business.
I mean, he works, like, he's an independent writer, I think. So he uses that space. So I could see in his eyes, he looked like genuine, like, oh my gosh, I want to have this connection. Do you have time to sit down?
He said that?
Yes, if we can make time for each other. And we still have to.
Has he still said the words, I'm sorry?
No, I don't think he's had that opportunity. Maybe that's what he wants to say.
Well, he had the opportunity right out front on the sidewalk.
I think it was so
whatever,
you know.
Listen, man.
Well, again, I don't know. Maybe his purpose is to say what he experienced from it, which we'll find out. But yeah, so, and then afterwards.
Fucking crazy.
It's so crazy.
It's crazy you tell that story and then you come to work one day and this dude's like.
A year later.
Man, I'm part of Night Pants Nation. I gotta tell you.
And I'm assuming it's either that or one of the council members that knows him.
Yeah.
And they ran into each other and he was trying to get a hold of me. Maybe he heard it, whatever. I don't know. Maybe someone heard it. But anyways, yeah. So that spawned this, which would
be. Take Lon to lunch, motherfucker, and say you're sorry.
And I'm not getting my, bringing my own drink.
I said it. Yeah. And bring your own goddamn drink. The whole time. So what we talk about? What you gotta tell me, by the way?
Oh, I just hope he has a good sense of humor, because I do.
If he doesn't, that's his fucking problem. Yeah. You're the one that got dosed. That's the,
Well, and the crazy thing was,
it's not like, I got you, you know? No, no.
Was other people were involved in like, oh, you know, that was traumatic. I guess he had his, whatever happened to him afterwards, there might have been some trauma for him around it, which I respect and can acknowledge, but.
That's a crazy story.
It's a crazy story. Yeah. And I hope it ends in, you know, some new relationship. I think we all grow up and become parents.
30 years ago? Like, I hope you get full closure finally.
Yeah.
All right. Here's what I also do want to, we're not going to talk about, because I'm sure people are like,
loaded.
Yeah. We're not talking about politics here. We're not talking about the looting or whatever happened to us. We're not sitting here. And the reason I don't want to, first of all, I don't give a fuck what other people think about what happened to us.
Yeah.
I don't give one shit what anyone else thinks about what happened to us.
Yeah.
Period. Okay, because I am proud of you. I sat down there and cleaned up glass and all that with you. And both of us, instead of whining and boo-hooing, we lost just like everybody, maybe more than others. And we just fucking got up and started marching forward. And not only that, growing and succeeding. So, yeah. I want to commend you, because I'm telling you, you got big dick energy. You do. If you were a dude,
big labia.
If you were a dude, your dick would be bigger. I mean— And look, you know what my daughter's mom told you. So we're sitting here, both of us sitting here, big dick energy, girl. Anyway, I'm proud of you. And let's talk about what you did, because literally picked ourselves up and you, let's talk about Otta first and what you did with that whole program.
I mean, almost like immediately after, because there was all the stuff happening with all the racial tension and the police, I mean, nationally. So here we are trying to literally pick up pieces and build. And I thought, oh my gosh, what a great opportunity to create another class or course or way for these kids that are in the diversion program, which is now called LEAD, with the Santa Monica Police Department. Because I had a connection to Santa Monica Police. I knew people that ran that program. So I knew I could get access to these kids in the neighborhood. And I thought, there's no trade schools. You know, people, this industry, whether it be music, entertainment, you know, including podcasting, all of it is so mystified for kids. And they don't even know, like, how do you get to where you are now? Like, what were the steps taken? So it was a great way to teach kids how to run pre-production, post-production, you know, teaching them the four-camera live switch, teaching them skills that they could literally take and put on a resume and go get a paying job for. But more importantly, I thought the dialogue that they could have would really be meaningful for the community, for themselves. So
you created a course, a class.
With you.
Well, it's your stuff, but I created a curriculum. You created a class.
Yeah.
And the opportunity for these people and myself, because I've come to you and said, I thank you for including me in it, because I really love it. I've enjoyed it. And you're right. Because I, as a parent, especially now, and watching and knowing what I paid for college and watching these people get just into an almost six-figure hole that they're never going to pay off coming out. So I question, wow, is college really the right move? I know I am the generation of parents who they got their high school diploma and went right into the workforce, maybe touched on college a little bit, but it was boom. We were the generation that was supposed to go to college to further ourselves. I think this generation, I agree, like, again, there's nothing wrong working at Starbucks, Little Caesars, whatever, nothing at all. I think that's great for you too. But if you can get an early jump on something that you have a passion for, and like you said, whether it's production, because we've taught the kids in here the cameras, we've taught them audio, we've taught them live switching, we've taught them editing,
the music,
basic editing,
production for the
music,
beginning,
how to pick your titles, graphics. We've taught them everything. And we've done two courses now.
And how to be a host, how to speak.
And how to be a host and be a guest also, you know. So, and to get out of your comfort zone, because these kids are interviewing the fucking police.
Yeah.
Fresh off of, like, we still sweeping up glass out there.
I know.
I'm still wondering where the fuck they were. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, y'all come here for the class, huh? No problem getting you here for the class. Anyway, I joke kind of. But you're right. You know, if someone just learns how to do cameras or editing or whatever, they can walk forward with a real skill that they can take out into the world and start making good money early on and connections that could help further them down the line. Because this shit's not going anywhere.
No.
The YouTubes and not only podcasting, but all this content creation's not going anywhere.
But
it's
if
only
you
getting
have
bigger and better.
Real tangible skills, which is what I think we're missing. Like those, I mean, when I was in high school, you learned how to change your oil. And we had ROP programs where you left early to work in a certain field or whatever. So like literally repairing wires, setting up mics, doing post-production, that's a job that is not just the creative side of it. It's like, that's a thing that you can learn and do. Like we can teach anybody that and you can do that job and make a living. And then maybe from there, as you're in that world surrounded by those people, you find your creative outlet. But for some people, that is the creative piece of it. So I think what's hard is when, you know, we can't just look at these kids doing all this TikTok and creative content, blogging stuff. I just hung out last night with a couple that was like, how long have you and your husband been together? I'm like, oh, we met in 2000. He's like, I was born in 2000. And they're making more than us, you know, content, creating content on TikTok and blogging. And instead of, you know, poo-pooing it or laughing at it, it's like, that's great. But do you actually know, I think what's even more valuable is if you know how to set up your own stuff. Like if you could set it up and produce it, then you're more valuable. Because if your content is gone and no one likes it in a couple months and it's just like a one-hit wonder, you can still go get a pretty well-paid job with insurance doing the other stuff. So these kids, you know, having a foot in the door in this industry is a big deal. Who you know, it is so saturated, so it almost makes it more competitive in a way. You got to be like extra special to stand out.
Well, what I really loved, it was a moment where I just was like, there it is. Because at first you were like, this person's podcast. I go, Lana, everybody's got a fucking podcast. And then there was like, after like 2 months, somebody came up in front of us. You're like, she goes, I want to do a podcast. She's like, everybody's got a fucking podcast. I was like, there it is.
Because I didn't even listen to podcasts before. And then I realized like everybody has a podcast, but
and so everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got something to say.
You and know, everyone has a crowd to listen to them. And I respect that. But these kids, I wanted them to learn skills so that whatever they walked away with, they learned something at the end of the day.
That's
and
right.
We were also providing a platform for the police to expose who they are as human beings. Mm-hmm. Because here are kids who have had negative interactions and positive interactions with police. And I think in this program, the positive has outweighed the negative in our community. So I wanted to send a positive message because the negative narrative was already out there. And we had kind of cast this national opinion on all police officers that they're all bad. And I was friends with a lot of these guys who grew up not wanting to be police because of what they endured in their communities and then deciding, no, that's actually why I want to be a police officer. And then you remember it started turning into these cops were moving, you know, their shift so that they could come and be on
yeah,
here.
They were all coming in. And I also mean, we interviewed the chief of police who what I was told, this woman made history. So she was the first, I believe, black female officer. And then went all the way to the ranks and was the first
level
all the way up to chief of police. And was so good that the current chief of police during the bullshit was out and she came back in to help out. I mean, and these kids got to sit down and talk to that woman about, you know, her life. I wanted to come on here just because I have so many questions about, you know, the racism and sexism. Because she told a story about how, or they had said, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but
the domestic violence call she went on.
Yeah, she went on a domestic violence call with a female partner, I believe.
Yeah.
And then her backup showed up and the two guys
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111. And I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
waited outside because they figured she would get roughed up and fucked up in there, and they'd come in and Captain Save-A-Ho and make them look good and like, see, y'all can't really do the job. And apparently she drugged that motherfucker down the steps, and then they said, you want us to call it in? She's like, we got it. Yeah.
No, she's a badass. And my dad's a fan, as you know.
Because he is a fan.
He watched her take somebody down in a... I mean, that was the whole point. Like, let's look at people as people and find out who they are. And these kids got to give their perspective, because for the longest we were hearing a community that has a 30,000 foot view, which I like to say, it's like this luxury of having this 30,000 foot view. The luxury to have space and time to really think about a problem and come up with a solution is a true luxury. But when you're in it, in the shit, there's a lot of value in that, because you have real life experience to be applied to the situation. And that's how I see these kids. Like, they're living it and they're the next generation. Let's let them lead the conversation, because I think they have something to say, which, as we found out, was quite different from what some people were saying. They were I don't want to defund the police. I'm in this amazing – I wouldn't be here today learning how to podcast if it wasn't for our local police, the Santa Monica PD, and this amazing LEAD program. I wouldn't be learning all these great things, you know. Officer so-and-so gave me my first pair of Jordans, and I got Thanksgiving, you know, dinner delivered to me by this officer. So we were just going through such a negative time, and everything was so negative. I just wanted an opportunity to say there's good people out there in all fields. And if there's a way to shed some light on that and teach some kids a trade that they can actually go get a job with, well, then – I feel like that's a good program.
And the kids were great. Some of them really impressed me, like took right to it.
Some of them were like, I'm never going to be in front of the camera. Cut to, they were like the best in front of the camera.
I can't remember the one young girl's name, but she loved Rogan. And I was like, you listen to Joe Rogan? She's like, yeah. Remember, she was ballsy, and she wanted that one cop to come in. And she's like, I want to ask him why he never says hello to me. And I go, are you serious? She's like, yep. And she put him in there, and she goes, how come you never say hi to me? He was like, I say hi to you. And I was like, look at her in there.
Fearless. It was awesome. And then, you know, because of Mark Wahlberg had stepped in and created a bunch of connections. Dwayne, who started here, and then that connection between Mark, who introduced me to Talitha, which connected me to William Morris Entertainment, he got to be able to have a dialogue and a possible mentorship with Kevin Shiver. So, I mean, none of that would have happened had all those negative things not happened. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know.
Well, then we also – I keep saying we, because I feel so like I'm excited to be a part of it. So I apologize. I don't want to take any credit from you, but you created also. Now, that was for at-risk youth in Santa Monica with the police department. You also have a program through ADA as well for the Culver City High School kids. Mm-hmm. And I got to teach the curriculum to the Culver City High School kids, and they were great too.
Yeah, different group of kids. They were already taking some classes in like media and entertainment, so that was just, it was wonderful to have them in the room. And now they want to make it a full-on extension part of their school. I think most schools are leaning towards project-based, trade-based, like putting kids in front of the action and actually having them do it. So.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it should be a class in high school now.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing it at that age already. You're starting. The quicker you can learn this stuff. And why wouldn't you're teaching all the other shit? Those AV kids would be all over this shit. Remember that kid, the dork that wheeled the cart to class? Well, I'm older than you. That kid would be like, I got your fucking cameras and shit. Don't worry about it.
No, exactly. Like,
Hell, that's the kids you should hang out with. That's where I fucked up. Hung out with all the jocks instead of the nerds.
I know. I think about that
these
now.
People
I look
are
back.
Coding and everything else. I know. I'm like, huh? You're what?
Well,
five houses? You got five, huh? Shit. Dungeons and Dragons, huh? God damn.
Who's a loser now?
I had to be all JUCO. That don't pay shit.
I think about that all the time. And that's what I want to share with kids is experience, you know. And no matter what we share, there's always going to be – they have to figure it out themselves. But, I mean, even during this process, once becoming on city council, I realized we have a whole studio a block away from here, a TV studio.
That's what I'm saying. Why can't that be added to VoTech? That's what we called it back in the day, where you go work on a car, home ec sort of classes, chef, cooking, all this.
Like, they do. They did a small program, but this is going to be different. No, for the actual studio where we had city TV, when they used to have aerobics classes, a cooking class. I mean, the city had put tons of money, and it's just sitting there because of COVID. So the idea is to have the kids in this program be able to learn how to work the big camera rigs and everything that goes into putting a show together, and hopefully having them take over the communications for the city. Because how cool would it be if the next generation is out there interviewing citizens, talking to policymakers, creating content about our city from the next generation who literally in a few years could be up on the dais, you know? So that's – I want to make it – I want to unmystify the industry and opportunities for kids to stand up and be leaders. Like, listen, I mean, I wasn't that kid that was pushing the cart. I definitely wasn't. I was definitely going, you know, getting off campus whenever I could or whatever. But that doesn't mean that you can't be afforded opportunities. Like, we got to look at the glass half full and who people are and not what they aren't.
The holidays are right around the corner. If you want help prepping for your parties and family get-togethers, all while supporting a more sustainable local food system, check out Imperfect Foods. Imperfect Foods is a grocery delivery service offering the entire line of sustainable groceries that taste delicious and reduce waste. Plus, your order will arrive on the same day each week. On average, Imperfect Foods customers save 6 to 8 pounds of food from lesser outcomes with every order. And unlike these other on-demand delivery companies, Imperfect delivers weekly by neighborhood. It's a unique model that produces 25 to 75% fewer emissions than individual trips to the grocery store. Plus, say goodbye to packaging guilt. Imperfect Foods is the only national grocery delivery company that makes it easy to return your packaging after every order. They sent me some food. I can tell you how many meals. I had stuffed peppers. Okay. I had scrambled eggs. It came with bacon. It's delicious. I'm telling you, other people have already, you guys have already hit me up. Tell me how you used it before and used it when you were in college. I think it's a great idea. Right now, Imperfect Foods is offering my listeners 20% off your first 4 orders when you go to imperfectfoods.com and use the promo code Honeydew. Again, 20% off your first 4 orders. That's up to an $80 value at imperfectfoods.com when you use the promo code Honeydew. Imperfectfoods.com and use code Honeydew. Athletic Greens is a product I love. I take it every day. And honestly, I don't eat well. I don't eat well all the time. I don't have time for it. I'm running whatever. And, you know, Athletic Greens takes care of me. So what is this stuff, right? With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All the things contains less than 1 gram of sugar. There's no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, or artificial anything while still tasting good. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit, all right? Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. It's easy. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/honeydew. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/honeydew to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. The holidays and New Year are right around the corner. Help your loved ones get closer to achieving their health and wellness goals with an Everly Well at-home lab test. Everly Well offers affordable at-home lab tests that give you trusted physician-reviewed results. Choose from tests including food sensitivity, metabolism, sleep and stress, thyroid, and so much more. Here's how it works. Everly Well ships your test straight to your door with everything needed for a sample collection. You return the test to a CLIA-certified lab with a prepaid shipping label. Then your physician-reviewed results and insights are sent to your device in just days. Over a million people have trusted Everly Well with their at-home lab testing. Your boy, too, right here has. They sent me one. I tested for food sensitivity. You just little finger prick, boom, boom, drop it on the paper. Off it goes. And like they said, right to your phone in days. It was pretty awesome. I found out that I'm sensitive to ginger. How about that? Who knew? This holiday, give more of what matters with an Everly Well at-home lab test. For our listeners, Everly Well is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/honeydew. That's everlywell.com/honeydew for 20% off your at-home lab test. everlywell.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew.
it's so funny, like during this whole process, after I was on the show, this guy, because now I get appointed to city council.
Yeah.
So now you Google me. That's the only thing.
Literally nothing. Yeah. Wrecked on the fucking sidewalk.
Right.
To city councilwoman.
To having to have people deliver
food. And to create
food.
Outreach to the arts for a nonprofit for the two new programs, and then become an LA city, or excuse me, Santa Monica city council.
Yeah, not LA.
I know.
LA. And which was crazy because people used to joke around all the time, like, oh, you're mini mayor of Santa Monica, because I knew everybody and yeah. They'd call me if they needed to know something or how to do something in Santa Monica. And then it was like, you should be on city council. And I was like, I don't have time. It's not the right time. And I was literally riding my exercise bike. I'll put a plug in for Peloton in case they want to send me anything. My Peloton, or as Louis likes to say, my Peloton. And I have all these Mel Robbins, like, inspirational quotes. And one of my favorites is, start before you're ready, because nothing beats experience. And I thought, you know what? I'm never going to be ready. I mean, I thought I was ready to have kids at a certain age, and their therapy bills will prove that I wasn't. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, so I just said, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And then immediately, like when it was all happening, because it was an appointment process, so I was up against like 33 other people or something, but it's a little different, not a full-on election, but there's still like some campaigning going on. And then the minute it actually happened, it was so great. And then I got up there and I had to make a vote right away. But that night when I went to bed, I had a full-on panic attack because I realized my friends were texting me, like people were taking to social media that never met me before saying mean things. And I was like, oh, I told you. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, people are.
Go read the comments about my laugh, Lonnie. You'll feel better about yourself.
People are just so. It's so crazy to me that, like, the minute somebody's up on a. And I'm not even like. It's not like I'm making money or anything. Like, we get paid $15,000 a year.
I can't get over that.
And we get a parking pass, though. That's the key to the city.
$15,000, and it's a full-time job and a parking pass.
That parking pass is. My husband's always like, show them how we do it, baby, in the mall. Oh, it didn't work. It's only on weekend.
It's Sunday from 12 to 3, but you can park wherever the fuck you want.
No, but I mean, that. That whole like experience of seeing how people who maybe even met you and worked with you in some like PTA group, and then they take to some.
It takes to the who's this bitch thinks she is.
Yes, I'm like.
I know.
But I'm like, if you know some, and these are the people that diligently read all the. I haven't seen you at a meeting. I've been to 875 meetings. And are you on a board or a commission? Have you done anything? Or do you just sit there behind your computer and write things on social media?
Keyboard cowboys.
Oh, and they know everything yeah. And how it should be done. And everybody on there is doing the wrong thing. And you don't know how to do it. I'm like, well, then get up here and do it. But, I mean, for them to wait for the perfect opportunity.
I don't want to do it. I just want to tell you how to do it.
And how you're doing it
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, how you're doing it wrong and fucking it up. But I don't want to do it. But I do know how to. Okay, asshole.
I had some lady come up to me where I got the great opportunity to announce Santa Claus and do the tree lighting, which for me was a little bit like, I don't think the mayor realized when she let me do it how much it meant. Because growing up as a kid, my dad used to play on the stages there. And we would see Santa and we'd have to wait in line. And it's funny because my dad was a musician. It wasn't like we got to go first. It was like, yeah, we'll let everybody else go first. And sometimes I'd miss the opportunity. I'd like have all this anxiety, like, God damn it, there's 60 kids in line. I might not meet Santa. And they would do the annual tree lighting. And I got to go on stage and read the last line that introduced Santa who lights the tree. But right when I get down, this woman who I've known, whose kids have taken lessons and gotten scholarships from me, is like, you know, you got to do this and nobody knows what you're doing because you're not saying it. And you should do this and you should do that. And if you don't do this, this way, that way. And I can't help myself. But I was like, why don't you do it? I don't have to do shit, lady. Like, don't talk to me like that and come up to me and just start telling me how I should. And hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. Nice to see you. It's just crazy how people feel like it's an open invitation.
To shit on you. Yeah.
And like, what does that do? All the people that complain about our city and are so angry and they're so certain that there's this conspiracy theory going around that the entire staff and everybody is all working together to like diabolically take the city down, I guess. I don't know. I'm like, why do you live here then? Like, if it sucks that much, like, I don't get it. Or why aren't you a part of the solution? Like, it's so easy to point out the problem and maybe say what the solution could be. But to actually come up with the solution and then do the work towards making it right and figuring out along the way, that wasn't the solution, but maybe this is. And if we tweak it that way.
But well, there's certain people break you down, and other people break you down and then help build you up. And that's what the, that's what, hey, look, I see a better way to do this. Great. Would you like to help? Yes, I would.
Yeah. That's, I love those people. Welcome them all day long, but it's the people who don't. And then you feel, realize there's people who have ulterior motives and you start getting into all that stuff. And we want to get
the
into
politics the politics.
I realize I'm not a politician. And so that might be the demise of my campaign next year. Cause people are like, well, you got to do this because if you don't, then this person's going to get, and then that's going to mess up. I'm like, but it's not right to do that. And they're like, but if you don't do it, then this person, I'm like, well, but it's not right. I got to be able to go to sleep at night. So I don't want to check off a box of a group of people and say, oh, I voted this way. Cause whatever you guys always say how to vote, I'm always going to vote that way. It's like, well, I don't know. Because I have a different perspective and experience in life. And clearly, it was valued enough to get where I'm at now. And if I get elected, then that means that there's enough people that agree with that. And I think everybody has value. The Ivy League lawyers that are up there to the working moms. I mean, I'll just say this, though. I'm the one that still is running payroll and actually owns a small business. So I think my voice has a lot of value. Now, there's times
in the city you are
in the city, yeah. And I was born and raised here, so I have historical perspective as a working class person living in a rent controlled apartment building.
I mean, y'all lived in the Walton House.
Not me. I mean, I've got perspective for sure. So, and I'm raising kids here, and my trajectory is not, my goal is not to be, you know, at the state or whatever level. My goal is just to serve my community. So it's not like I'm doing this to get to the next step. It's truly just to serve the community. And so my kids can get dropped off at the promenade without having to carry a weapon in their pocket now. But no, I mean, that's my goal. And I'm so excited to be able to like help on a bigger scale and bring in the kids that I work with. That's really what I want to do. Like, look, nobody thought I was going to be up here, including myself. And I am. And it reminded me of Michelle Obama when I went and listened to her book reading. I'll never forget when she said, I'm paraphrasing, but she was like, basically her first few weeks being there as first lady, she thought, oh my God, there's all these smart people in the room. Like, I'm not the smartest
in
the room.
I'm a fraud.
And then cut to like a year later, like, I might be the smartest person in this room.
Yeah, right. Soon you figure it out.
Logic and pragmatic approach, I mean, that's valuable to me. So I just try to bring that approach. I try not to be embarrassed. I raise my hand. I ask. You'll see me on the dais be like, do we always have to speak like we're in a Shakespeare play? If you got to put up a PowerPoint to explain that ordinance, maybe we should be reducing it down to three sentences so everybody can understand it. So I hope to bring that part to city council so people see like, oh, like I'm translating it for the people.
This bitch doesn't like my PowerPoint. There's somebody doing that right now. Like, you know I do PowerPoints, Lana. But that's what I do.
Look, someone's going to hear this. Listen to this. Like, what did that guy write out of the 2 hours we talked? Yeah. This is what we know
that's
about
what
Lana.
People do, though.
She was molested, drugged.
Drugged.
And her dad played intros to titty bars.
And now I can't do my PowerPoints. This fucking bitch.
Everyone picks out the most negative things. And look, I like to laugh and make fun. I mean, Louie and I bagging our kids so hard, we're like not sure if it's even right. But we laugh at each other, we laugh at ourselves. And that's okay. But to just be mean, like just to be mean is like, really? I don't get it. What do you get out of that? Like the people that take time to comment, I'm not talking about your podcast, but you were saying people say stuff.
Plenty of them.
But why are you going to listen then? And then take the time to go on my account. And
that's
then
why when they say like your laugh ruins every podcast, I'm like, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. All of them?
It's a ringtone. You can get listening. It as a ringtone now. You just leave 10 voicemails with your laugh.
So let me ask you this. You go from being business destroyed to not only building yourself back up, but building your community back up, which is unfucking believable.
Yeah.
Becoming a Santa Monica City Councilwoman and or is it person?
Council member.
Member, okay.
Yeah, I'd say councilwoman.
I want to highlight lowlight. So right now, what are you most proud of? And I want to, personal.
Like in my personal
life? Like if
personal?
Right now, you could look back in a year and a half ago and tell that us down there sweeping that fucking glass up, like, hey, what are you most proud of?
That we're still here. I know that's so basic, but I really thought at that moment.
There's so many businesses that aren't.
Yeah. Like that was, and then you know what I went through after that with the lease negotiation. So I mean, he showed up that day and was like, how are you going to pay for my rent? I was like.
Okay, so the landlord shows up. And tell us about that conversation.
He literally is walking around to see what happens, and he says, "How are you going to pay my rent now?" And I was like, "Watch out for that glass."
Didn't he call you little girl?
Oh, many times, and all the negotiations. Like, he would wait for my dad to do meetings, even though.
And he called you little girl.
Oh yeah, little girl.
My favorite one was when you you told him you brought your feelings to a business meeting.
Oh yeah,
tell me.
So I was actually ready to give him a bigger check than he ended up getting. I ended up reducing it because, you know, I just wanted to make, I wanted to move on. Everybody was doing the whole like not paying rent. I was never doing that. Mm-hmm. I was giving more than I had to. And just no one knew, like, am I going to owe all this? Am I not? I mean, people are still sitting in that predicament. So I just kind of wanted to close that chapter, even though people said, well, you're just wait. I was like, oh, I just want to move on and know a little bit more about the future. And in order to do that, I got to close this. So I had written out the check and he comes in there. First of all, he doesn't want to just talk to me. He wants my dad in there, which is always funny to me because my dad's either falling asleep half the meeting or he'll say
the most inappropriate shit. Yeah.
Go back to your career. He just, I won't even say what he says because someone will pick that up. But anyways, and my dad's looking at me like, I don't know, ask her. But he had brought his broker, who was great, who all I could see was his eyes during the whole meeting. But at some point, I mean, we were just about to give him the check and he goes, I just want to say something. And he went on to say, you chose to pay your employees before me. You chose to take care of all your employees and probably your vendors, but you paid your employees before me. And that's horrible. You don't need to respect me. I'm the landlord and you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me and blah, blah, blah. He went into this whole like diatribe about how horrible of a person I was and ultimately, like, you know.
How dare you?
Yeah, how dare I take care of my employees? And I was like, if I had to do it again, that's exactly how I'd do it. Didn't pay myself, paid my employees. And they're still here. They didn't have to, you know, struggle to eat or whatever.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
But he didn't get that concept. But I was like, listen, it's unfortunate. Thank you for sharing. That you brought all your feelings about me and how I handled everything to this meeting. So let me just take this check back.
Yeah.
And look at your broker who said that, you know, we could possibly negotiate differently. And then it was like, the broker was like, maybe you should just accept. And I was
little
like,
boy,
no.
Boy brought your feelings to a business meeting.
I'm going to get my feelings involved a little bit.
Your feelings. You brought them into business.
I was like, listen, for all the things you've said to me and done to me, I've never once taking that into account because the business transaction is separate. Like, I may not like you as a person or think all these things about you.
We don't.
But yeah, but this is a business transaction and this is who I'm doing business with right now and that's what it is. So, but unfortunately, he let me know what he felt about me and I was like, good to know, good to know. Wasn't some the one that signs the check? Let me just take that back. So, I mean, we're not in the best situation, but we're here. He just rolled through the other day with bankers. I don't know if it's like a thing to make me nervous. He's like, these are my bankers. I'm like, okay. So
does he know your city council?
Yeah, he does. You know, so he's probably going to listen to this.
That's fine. Let him listen.
I think, you know, the reality.
What scares you the most?
I think what scares me the most is not succeeding at this like dream that I have to create what I've actually been manifesting and doing. So it scares me that I won't keep taking those steps because as silly as it sounds, because I'll look back and go, oh, shit, I did do it. It's like.
And what do I tell you all the time? Just fucking do it.
Just do it. I know.
Don't wait. Just do
it. I know. And that was my biggest thing because I think I procrastinated a lot. I just was in. It's a big, what do you call it? Imposter syndrome. I've always had that. Like, I don't deserve to be in this room or around these people or I want to create this thing, but it'll never really look like that because that's meant for these type of people. And I think that's a product of like growing up with nothing or less, you know what I mean? And so I just constantly told myself that story. And then honestly, I read a couple good books. I love James Clear, Atomic Habits. I read that book for the third time and shared it with the kids during the podcast. And it's just making those small changes to make yourself 1% better every day. And Mel Robbins, all those inspirational books. But they took to me during that time because I thought, okay, what's my choice? It's either do
is
nothing.
Mel, is he like Tim's dad? Or
she. Mel Robbins.
Tim's mom.
Tim's aunt. No. No, it's not. That's funny though. I didn't even think about that. Tony Robbins.
Oh, Mel for Melanie?
No, just Mel Robbins. Mel, okay. She's a big speaker. And actually, she talks about how, you know, she was going bankrupt just a few years ago. And you start to go like, well, damn, if somebody like that could be standing right here, if somebody like that has imposter syndrome. And one of the cheesiest things, she has this high five habit challenge that I've been doing and I want my kids to do it, trying to get them to do it, is high fiving yourself in the mirror. It sounds so stupid and you feel so ridiculous doing it. But it's proven scientifically that, like, you can't think negative thoughts about yourself when you do it.
I just broke the fucking mirror. 7 months here.
I fist bumped.
You fucking glad I could blood all down your hand and broke your fucking mirror. God damn it. Lana's bullshit.
I got handprints everywhere. No, but I just started to say, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And even if the goal is here and I just start and I get to there, that's the first step. And then that's all it takes. It's like when you say you don't want to exercise and you're like, I'll just go for a 5-minute walk, turns into a 3-mile jog. I mean, it was just taking the first step and doing it and not judging myself, being kind to myself and being like, you know what? You could have not done anything, but you're doing it. And we work for ourselves. And I forget, people remind me all the time.
This is my family business inside your family business. Yes.
And I mean, to not have to depend on someone else to create the structure and the entity that feeds your kids is a big, scary deal. So I have to remind myself that I've been doing that for a really long time and I've figured it out.
Successfully.
And what does success mean? Like, is it the big house or the this or the that? No. It's being able to know that I make my own hours. It doesn't feel like that sometimes. It feels like you're, you know, tied to do certain things, but they're choices. Like, I'm not doing anything for someone else. I'm doing them for me. And in terms of being like a city council member, there's times where you feel like, oh my gosh, I got to do this, I got to do that. But it's part of serving the community, which serves my family too. Yeah. So I think my biggest fear would be not to take those steps. And my biggest accomplishment is having trusted in and valuing the baby steps, because the baby steps lead to the big things.
Amen to that. That's the truth.
So
what's next?
Oh, there's so many things.
Like, here's the thing. You love to take care of so many people. I always worry about you because you don't really
sleep. Oh.
Yeah. You don't. I mean, I don't want to say you don't take care of yourself because you definitely take care of yourself. You eat well. You exercise. You do all the right things.
Chick-fil-A.
But whatever. Everybody's.
Stop making that hot sauce.
I mean, I like some Chick-fil-A too. But I get, you know, if it fails, everything goes away for you.
Oh, I think about that all the time.
Family business and helping other people. So you lose all of your passions. So what is next then?
Well, on that note, this is another cheesy cliche saying, but I truly live by it. And I think I've always felt this way, is your net worth is your network. And I have created a network of people and it's shifted, because when you're in a negative cyclone, like, you suck in all the negative people and events, like, you it becomes a pattern, like one negative thing after the other. I mean, usually kind of you stub your toe in the morning, you forget your keys, you spill your coffee, and then it's just like a shit show for the rest of the day. Unless you can stop yourself and be like, all right, restart. And I think I did a restart on myself, started being more positive to myself, which in turn led to more positive people being around me. And then that just sort of grew and grew and grew. And it's all that, like, what you put out into the universe, which I was raised that way. But for the longest, I ran away from that because I was like, all that positive manifestation is not paying my cell phone bill or my rent. Unfortunately, I tried it. I tried to call up the landlord and be like, listen, I'm just putting shit out there, buddy. But
I just saw The Secret and I wonder if I could hold off on that money for 3 months.
Oh my God. I mean, practicality was like, that's not going to work. So, but what does work is when you're writing things down and manifesting, it's not that you're, the act of writing it down. It's that you're thinking about it. And if you keep thinking about it and repeating it over and over, all of a sudden something that's connected to that thought is the idea, is the phone call with the person who's like, oh my God, let me have you connect to this person. I mean, if I were to say just from you, just from what happened, just from a few contacts, the outer rings of those 7 degrees of separation is crazy. Like the amount of people that I've met that I've kept in my life, I really value relationships with people. I just, it's my oxygen. And so when you say like what happens when it all goes away, I panic about that. And sometimes it keeps me from trying to attain the dream of like owning a home again, because I think, well, I don't have any, you know, job security in that sense, but who does? So I do know though, what I do have is an amazing group of people. And I truly feel like I've seen it happen. When we got looted, we had people delivering food to our house for over a month, and to my staff here. I mean, it's crazy. My daughter got sick. People come and bring things and offer to drive and do this and that. Just reminding me that I'm always going to have the things my mom taught me to worry about. Are you safe? Are you loved? Are you housed? Are you clothed? Like, those are very primal, basic things. And some people don't have those. And so I know that with my network around me, I'll never not have those things. And that's a luxury, because that's my financial safety net that allows me to be creative, because I know I'll have those fundamental things. And I've lived with the bare bones basics. I mean, we had WIC checks, and I had to put my kids in swim diapers when I couldn't afford diapers. And I mean, I've lived it. I've lived both of it, the highs and the lows. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like to carry a $2,000 purse and live in a nice house with a waterfall in the back. And I know what it's like to have four kids stuffed in a bedroom wondering when you're going to take your kid out of those swim diapers and eating Little Caesars pizza all the time because it's $5. Yeah. Like, so to me, I'm like, I think that's the value of like the kids we work with. It's like, I've been in the gym of life. I've had the heaviest weights put on there. So I've lifted in the gym. I've sprinted. I've trained. So when the race of life has started, I'm like, oh, I've trained for this. I've seen this. I've been knocked down. I know how to get back up. I know the curves on this track. So I don't feel as afraid as maybe somebody who doesn't have all that experience and has taken the elevator their whole life mm-hmm. and always had doors open
or
for them.
Or been given the ride, yeah.
Never had to try the different keys to get in the door or break in through the window.
Or just fucking locked out in the goddamn cold.
Or punch somebody in the face to get in.
Just, that's fine. Cooler weather makes it easier to miss signs of dehydration like overheating or perspiration, which means it's even more important to keep your body properly hydrated. One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone. You know we love Liquid IV. I take that every day. Take it to the gym, throw it in my water bottle, boom, I'm hydrating. I'm taking it on my walks. We keep it here at the studio. People grabbing them in on the way out, putting them in the coffee mugs right now. Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world. The company is donating 4 million servings in response to COVID-19. Products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. Grab your favorite Liquid IV flavors nationwide at Walmart, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code HONEYDEW at checkout. That's 25% off of anything you order when you get better hydration today using the promo code HONEYDEW at liquidiv.com. It's funny, there's all these gimmicks that promise a great night's sleep. And I don't care what kind of toppers there are or how heavy a blanket may be, it's lipstick on a pig. If you are sleeping on a terrible mattress, your sleep's going to be terrible. It's that simple. That's why I recommend sleeping on a Purple mattress. That's because only Purple mattresses have the Gel Flex Grid. It's a super stretchy, ultra squishy material that adapts and flexes around pressure points and doesn't retain heat. Unlike memory foam, which remembers everything, thanks to the Gel Flex Grid, Purple mattresses bounce back as you move and shift. You will never have that I'm stuck feeling people get with memory foam. Officially, we all have them here, all right? Sent me a mattress. Kirsten's got a Purple mattress, and he's sleeping on a Purple mattress. And his exact words were, I recommend it, and so do I. They're a great mattress. If you're looking for a mattress right now, you're in the market for one, Purple mattress is the way to go. Try your Purple mattress risk-free with free shipping and returns, and financing is available too. Getting a great night's sleep starts with having a great mattress. Get a Purple mattress. Go to purple.com/honeydew and use code honeydew. For a limited time, you can get 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/honeydew, code honeydew, for 10% off any order of $200 or more. Again, purple.com/honeydew, promo code honeydew, terms apply. Hey, fellas, this episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by our favorite producers of ball trimmers, Manscaped. The global leaders in below-the-waist grooming are leaving 2021 with new product. Clean yourself into the new year with their ultra-premium body wash. Also, special offer alert, use the code HONEYDEW for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. 4 million men already trust Manscaped. It's time to join them. 2022 is on its way, and the last thing you want is to be the guy with pubes getting in your way of making this year your best yet. Manscaped engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology, and it's even waterproof. So use the code HONEYDEW for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. I'm all in on confidence and smelling good this year. Join me with Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HONEYDEW at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com and use code HONEYDEW. Happy New Year to your balls. Now, let's get back to the dew. As far as mentally, especially being cynical and a comedian and everything, it's easier to go the negative thought, you know, the this is that. It is harder to go with the positive thought. So I, well, you know, I do that 5-minute journal. I do it every day. I'm on like my fourth or fifth one, and it changed my mindset. Every day I wake up, I am grateful for, you know, and, you know, I always start with my health. Everyone is my health and my daughter's health. What do you have if you don't have that?
Yeah.
That to me is rich. You know, I'm not in and out of a hospital right now. I was doing that in 2016, and I was in and out of hospitals for 6-7 months, you know, all that bullshit. So I'm so glad. And I put myself on the five-year plan. It might get to six, but that's fine. But I've exceeded what I wanted to do in that 5 years. And I had a plan. That goes all the way up to including getting a dog and all this shit. Like, I wrote it out so that I could, you know, go for it.
And that's what I did. And I even remember about the money part, which is crazy, because in the most untraditional way, I attained that money part within $1,367. It's crazy, like, how, you know, I just started doing other things. Like, I'm, you know, curating spaces and events and booking DJs. And that once events started opening back up, that started happening. And then that led to meeting more people. So that was a source of income and something I wanted to do, coupled with like other things. So yes, the store maybe was not in a position where to afford me any, you know, because I couldn't see that. Like, well, how am I going to pay myself more if we can't afford this? But it came in other ways. And I also got opportunities to be a part of things that didn't end up costing me money to be a part of. You know what I mean? So I look at that as income. One of the biggest things that I took away with is the $1 Million Morning from Mel Robbins, which is you put your and I have to tell you, I've been really bad about it lately, and I can tell the difference.
Giving you a kickback on this
Mel Robbins. Mel Robbins. I've DM'd you a few times and tagged you, but no, it's such a simple thing, but if you just put your phone to charge, I use my phone as my alarm. So if you can just use an alarm clock, it's better. But if you can't, you put it far away from you and then like in a bathroom or whatever, and you just use the alarm to wake up. Now, if you can't do that, which I've been really good about it, is you let it wake you up, but you do not look at Instagram, Facebook, emails, text messages, who called you, nothing. You do not look at your phone. You just shut off the alarm for at least 30 minutes. And those first 30 minutes, and for me, I try to do an hour. You wake up, I make my coffee, I'll do a 10-minute meditation. I'll use the Calm app, like that's what I like to use, whatever. And then I'll read whatever book I'm reading at the time, and I'll do a workout if I can. And if you can only do 30 minutes, that's fine. But it's so true. Like, if you're laying in bed, she's like, do you think Oprah's laying in bed looking at people's Instagrams? I mean, whether they're positive things or you opened an email that's a great new project, you've now soaked up like the first part of your day, like already thinking about all these projects you have to do, and you don't have time to like clear your mind and be creative. She goes into this part about like while she's brushing her teeth is when she lets just all the ideas flow. That's for whether you're a creative or not, it could be whatever it is that's on your mind. I use a notes thing, and I think of poetic things and crazy funny episodes for possibly future things I want to do. And I just speak into my notes. I ended up speaking this whole thing that became a talk at my mom's spiritual center about riding the waves of life and uncertainty. But I just speak these things out now. But if I wake up and I'm on my Instagram and I'm on my Facebook and all that, next thing you know, I'm in a dark hole following people I don't know. I'm watching somebody's cat video about Skibbity Paps.
Yeah, Tiny Baker's the best.
I mean, that was a good way to go down a hole. But I start looking at things that have nothing to do with me, that's not serving me, they're pointless, and it robs you of your day, and it sets you up scientifically. Like, I just think it sets your mind up and your headspace so different. When I got to 30 minutes easily, it's a full hour now in the morning of not looking at it. And it feels great because I feel like I've accomplished. I read, I did a meditation, I worked out for 30 minutes or whatever, and now I can look at those things, you know, and be a bit distracted, but try to time myself on it. That was a big shift for me because I was getting sucked into like, it's easy to get sucked into like, oh, look at what everybody else is doing. I haven't arrived. Or when we were coming up with all the ideas of what to do and you were like, and I'm like, oh no, someone else is already doing it like better. It's easy to be like, oh, forget it then. I'm not going to do it. But I was already had set my morning up with, nope, today I'm making these phone calls. You know, I'm putting these mics in the studio to make this happen. Like, you just keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've spent money that I didn't think I had to make something work, like the podcast studio in Culver City. And it didn't take off right away, but
studios,
we're using it. Studios.
Available for rent.
And it sat there for a couple months, mm-hmm. but now we've got people creating content in there. Same thing with the live recording studio. Really easy to just be like, well, I don't have the money to do that, but figuring it out, taking a 0% credit card loan and making that choice to say, I could do that or I could build it and then have a space to do the program and not have to rely on other people. So
what surprised you the most?
That I made it to this point. Honestly, it surprised me the most that I've made these connections. Like that whole thing when everybody saw the GoFundMe and all that, we got some attention and then you were bringing people in and that was attention by like, you know, celebrity people, whatever. And I just thought like, oh, that'll come and go. There was a piece of me that was like, oh, this is the 10 seconds of fame around this thing. And then a little bit of anxiety and fear like, oh no, I need to keep this going so people know what we're doing here. But surprised me the most is that that's happened. Like, it's still, people are still saying, wow, you've been doing this for a long time. Like, we love that your store is such a community store. Mm-hmm. We didn't realize that Outreach Through the Arts was serving this many kids in these different programs because I never really had the time to go out and do all the promotion for it. And I want to just do the work.
Well, that's what the mom and pop shops that, you know, during this virus that's still going on, they've wanted to save the Targets and the Walmarts and all that.
Right.
And they've left the mom and pop shops go to this wayside. So even before that, you had no support from these people, it's people like you who are out there word of mouth, like bring your kids here, try and do this, try and do this. So
the holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
To be able to have a larger platform to get the word out, I think is a really great thing too. And also to raise awareness, because like you said, people are like, I didn't know you were even doing all this. Like,
The biggest surprise has actually been how many of these people who are super successful in what they do want to come out and help. I mean, like want to fly out for a day to work with the kids want to give their time. I mean, I have an amazing producer who's just created a whole curriculum that he wants to do on just teaching kids how to produce. You've given all your a full day up to teach these kids. I mean, I'm surprised.
I love it.
I'm learning how to receive because I give and it feels uncomfortable to receive. And women in general, like we say sorry all the time, like sorry, or like someone compliments you and you're like, oh wait, it was on sale, or you know, someone will be like, oh, you look great. I'm like, I just sharp my pants.
I just sharp my.
I love your eyelashes. I have a hemorrhoid. Like, you always have to discount yourself. But I'm learning how to just be like, thank you. Like, you know, and let people participate and not feel like, oh, they're going to come and participate. And I'm not this big glamorous nonprofit that's doing it this way. But we're doing the work. So they come in here and they're like, oh, my God, you might not have a shiny brochure, but who needs one when you're doing this amazing work? So, I mean, we've collected so many people who have given of their time.
Well, good people do want to help, you know, yeah. They really do. And that's who you want. You want the good ones. They don't mind. Like for me, I've said before, like, I wish I had you in my life when I was those kids' age, you know, yeah. Like, oh my God, someone that's shown me something and with a sense of purpose and direction and everything, you know, I'm just aimlessly bouncing around doing what I think is best for me. And then of course I really believe, especially with like the death of my father at 16 and my mom not being around, I think that stunted me 10 years minimum, a decade in life. And I went and got a master's degree in the school, like you said, the school of fucking hard knocks.
Yeah.
But learning how to do anything financially or how to do this, I didn't know any fucking thing.
Yeah.
I never leased anything, didn't have a credit card, didn't. And so I'm doing laundry. Like, I'm just learning everything, you know. Once the internet came around, I was like, who the fuck needs parents? But it was rough up till 96, you know what I'm saying? Rough till 96,
oh,
97.
My God. No, but that's true. I mean, like, it's in some ways our generation has become less, what we think is less, not our generation, I'm sorry, the next generation, less resourceful in a way because information is so at their fingertips. But actually, I watch it as a mom of a teenager, like, it's their version of being resourceful,
of course.
You know, and we put that there.
We're sitting there going, in my day, well, it ain't your day anymore,
yeah.
Motherfucker.
Go get an encyclopedia.
It's still your day, P.S. I mean, it's still your day. You're still here. Just let's go with the time. You know what I mean?
No,
an encyclopedia. Y'all don't know shit about the Dewey Decimal System. Talk to me like that.
Oh, my God. My daughter's friend had this 13 challenges celebration, and I was like, what is that? And apparently, they had them. She had their kids do certain things, and then they celebrated it. And one of the things was dropping them off in, like, downtown L.A., and then they had to figure out how to get home. And I'm
how
like,
old are the kids?
Like, they were 12 or 13. When
what?
Happened. Yeah, that's great, though.
I don't know about that. Not downtown L.A.
I think it's great. I think it's a great—I mean, we were missing that. Like, kids, you know—
You'll be missing those kids. You'll be missing those kids. Sorry, we're looking for these children we dropped off today. They're 12 and 13.
I mean—
Tent City? Okay, we'll check Tent City. What's Tent City? Sounds nice.
Oh, me and being there like, they're camping.
I got baked beans, Mom.
I mean, I just think that there's some things like kids wouldn't be able to figure out how to get anywhere, even myself, without maps. I mean, I use maps sometimes to get home from places I already know how to get home.
But see, I use it because I want to know the fastest way to get home. I don't use it because I don't know how to fucking
right.
get home. I want to avoid the fucking traffic.
Do you know what
that I
use
don't
it
have
for?
To deal with.
My kids love it on soccer tournament days. Don't be following me on the freeway. But I like to reduce the time. So we take, I said, it says 33 minutes, 25 minutes. Who's got me on 25?
Oh, you try to get the timer
and
down.
And I'm all like, my soccer mom car. And then they forget about it. But I'm like obsessed with it, like making rights
looking
and lefts.
Down at it. Shave two off. Shave two off.
That's exactly what yeah. I say. No, I mean, they're using their own resources. But I will say that there's some things that we've lost, which is like what we're talking about. Like, physically setting up these cameras. Like, they know how to get in front of it and create something, but the rest of it is what they don't know.
Well, also, it's interesting, too, because especially with the dating apps, I feel like a lot of people have lost
I don't know about those
human interaction.
Yeah.
Though, and how,
I can't even
how to approach. And like, imagine right now,
yeah.
if you were a single woman in this age and
I'm trying to pick up people in aisle five.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you. You like that pasta sauce, too? And then his baby's
I like rotini curls, too, man. You free tonight?
Oh, God. I mean, that's how I can't even imagine. I've been with my husband 21 years, married 16. We joke around about it because he's not on social media. So he always likes to threaten, tease me, like, I don't know, I might get on there. He's like, people are going to start looking me up from high school that liked me and shit. I'm like, you're okay. Let's reel it in for a minute. But you know, he says, I feel like I'm missing out sometimes because you're saying all these jokes. I'm like, you're not, and you'll be on it all the time, so don't bother with it. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like these kids with the social media and the TikTok and the this and the that, it's like,
but it's their time. That's their time.
Yeah,
and
it's so in your face. The only thing I will say, and this is like what I was just talking about, is the bullying thing. Like, people are so shitty and mean to each other, and I think there is like a vibe of, you know, we just went to the Harry Styles concert. Like, treat people with kindness. Just be kind. I do think it's way cooler to be kind nowadays than to not be. Like, when I was younger, I felt like maybe it was cooler to be an asshole. But
yeah, ball busters.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny, though.
Like, you bag on people and you until you hurt
people. But you hope they go back.
Yeah. But then now I feel like it's gotten so far off the deep end. And I also feel that pendulum has swung to people being so sensitive.
Very.
Everybody is so damn.
He said, I'm tall.
Oh my God. People will. Let me tell you, I'm curious what they'll pick out of this interview, but people will pick stuff out and we won't even know what it was about.
Wait, what are they talking about? Yeah.
You see the way she moved that cup?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the crazy thing. Like,
oh, she got almond nails.
She got almond nails. She's trying to live out my teenage years. No, I mean, that's the crazy thing is like these kids are living their lives in front of the lens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have this different perspective where we have both of it.
Yes.
So we know what it was like before and we know what it's like now. So we can kind of make fun of it. We can kind of see it for what it is. But these kids now, this is all they know. And it scares me because my 11-year-old, you know what, by the time you get to the last kid, you're like, are they still in the room?
Yeah. Like, I got two?
I mean, there's genuinely been times where we're like, oh, shit, did we pick up so-and-so? You know, so she's getting the most of it because she's had a lot of downtime in front of an electronic. Even though we don't let her have a phone yet and she's in middle school, I mean, she will have a working phone. It's like she has to use it on Wi-Fi or whatever. She has access to see all these things and what beauty is, what, you know, what's important, what's not.
Well, she makes videos with Stella and stuff, and I love that they do that.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that they
That's
do that.
That's a creative movie thing. I love that.
I love that.
But Mia's over there like doing the, did you see the new TikTok dance, Mom? Is it just like this one? Like, it's all the same. That's all they do all day. I'm like, what is that? You know what? When I first did one, I thought that the way they look at the camera, I thought that they showed you the dance and you mimicked it as you went. So she's like, okay, let's do it. And we went in there and I'm like, how do you know what to do? She's like, oh, you have to like watch the dance. I'm like, and memorize it in court. So I will give them that. They're learning choreography, but I mean, some of it's just like, come on. And I don't like looking at it. I don't like looking at them getting older on the.
Yeah.
You have to keep on them. But I try to look at it like, look, they're creating content. It's as long as they have a good foundation of like what is and who you are. And like today, Mia went to school and was all worried that because she just got over COVID.
Yeah.
And she's cleared to go to school, that everybody was going to treat her like she had the plague. And it was cute because she's all, they're going to treat me like I have the plaque. And I'm like, the plaque? I said, well, I mean, we do have to go to the dentist. But no, she said the plague. And I was like, oh, how sad. Does that happen? She's like, yeah, so-and-so came back and nobody wanted to sit with them. And I hadn't had a cup of coffee yet. And I was weak on my advice. I was like, well, then they're assholes.
Fuck them. Yeah.
You'll have some alone time at lunch. I mean, hopefully she'll be cool. But yeah, kids are mean. Girls are meaner than boys for sure. But adults are mean. And then as I tell my kids, I'm like, I literally had a middle school experience once I became city council. I mean, people called me, cussed me out for votes. And I remember I told this one lady, I was like, if we were in a Target parking lot, you'd be kissing that pavement. She was like, click. And then called me back.
That's what I love about you. I remember being on the phone with you and you were at the DSW and you're like, hang on a second, Ryan. Bitch, stop. Leave me alone. I will fuck you up. See me outside. I'm just trying these heels on, Ryan. This bitch. And I am just sitting
there. She was mad because I was on the phone.
Yeah, on the phone. Yeah, talking to me.
I mean, this is what I mean.
And I said something back through. I was fucking around. She heard it, I think. She's like, oh, he's over there saying shit.
Oh, man. Yes. I'm bringing my, and sometimes I'm not proud of those moments, but I'm like, this is me. Take it or leave it. I mean.
But I think that's what we need more of, real people in these positions, not the fucking bullshit politics, not all that. Like, bring a real person in that goes, hey, if we got to do a fucking 45-minute PowerPoint presentation, could you bring it down to fucking one?
Yeah.
One display that takes you 5 minutes to fucking go over this, please. Because you'll be like, Ryan, I'm still on a 3-hour phone call. I'm like, what? And now I know you make $15,000. I'd have been like,
we go down, we go at 5 and our meetings end on average between midnight and 2 in the morning.
No.
And most of it is because of discussions that have to happen in front of everybody and callers and stuff like that. But most of it is discussions that are happening on the dais between – there's new council members. Like, so not everybody – this is the first time there's been this many women. There's 5 of us out of the 7 and this many newer, like untraditional incumbents. Like, so these are – it's 4 of us are really new. So – nobody gives you – that's the other thing. So you get on city council and I'm like, okay, when's the training? They're like – you know, they give you a training about like basic things. It's like sexual harassment and now you're a public figure so you can't do this and no more than 3 of your council members. Like we were at a restaurant the other night and there was 3 of us and one showed up and pulled up a seat and somebody has to leave.
Really?
Yeah, it's the Brown Act violation. It's Brown Act.
What's that?
It's you can't have more than 3 members out of the 7 together in any setting, whether it be
in case you all have to shit at the same time. The Brown Act.
In case we got to talk about some shit.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about stuff, it's because all our meetings have to be in public. The public has to see what you're discussing, so you can't all gather.
So 3
together.
People's the max for a personal.
Yeah. So
gathering.
When you're talking to another council member, you have to say, "Is anyone in your Brown Act?" Before we discuss this agenda item, like you can't call up and talk about all the items,
right?
And if you talk to someone about the other – it's all – so that's one thing that they train you on. But they don't tell you, like, how to put a 13 item. Like, I put one to make tattoos legal in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
They don't tell you, like, the process to do things. And there's a couple people up there who've been on there. And it's intimidating with the city attorney because they'll clown you on live TV. But I don't care because I got a sense of humor. So – but it can feel a little intimidating because you'll be like, excuse me, like, ah! It's not your time and you need to like, this is a discussion, you know, you can't put that forward and you're like, oh, okay, sorry. So you just kind of learn as you go. Like life.
Yeah.
You just learn as you go. And that's what I want. I want everybody to see in the community. Like, I mean, I wish they paid them more. And that's why these people, that's why in government you see this because you have to do these of service jobs to get to that point. And if you're a working class member, unless you're of society, unless you're just crazy like me, or you're really, you have a lot of time on your hands and you can do it. Like, how could anyone give 30 to 40 hours a week and read 2,800 page agendas every other week? It's impossible. And meet with constituents. I got people coming in the music store that city internet's out. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
You want a ukulele?
Right. Yeah.
It's a lot like to be expected to talk to everybody and all that kind of stuff. But I want people to see that it is doable. I mean, you can do it. There's a woman on there that has kids, works from 9 to 5, and she just says, I cannot call you back until after 5, and she checks emails and makes appointments on the weekends. And she makes it work for herself. I mean, she's busy, but – and me, unfortunately, I'm making time for everybody.
Well, you've – look, first of all, you've done wonderful things, not only for you and your family, for the community. You really have. For me, like – I love you. You know I do. I really enjoy working here. I really enjoy volunteering with both of the classes. Yeah. I love it.
And I can't wait till we get
there. I love being a part of it and watching you really make a difference in people's lives. It's awesome. And thank you for making time for me today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. I love that you'll come here and raise awareness about this shit.
I'm about to raise awareness about this IED.
There's the too much information right there.
It might be slipping out, y'all. Oh, I'm just kidding. That'll be that'll make the headlines.
That'll be our promo. One more time, please. Plug ADA. Plug it all, please.
Okay. Outreach Through the Arts. So the acronym is ADA, OTTArts.org.
OTTA.
Well, OTT Arts. Which is spelled with an A.
Okay.
Not farts, okay? OTTArts.org. And then SantaMonicaMusicCenter.com will take you to our website, which shows you both Culver City and Santa Monica. I'm looking at the camera. And you can see what we're doing at both locations. We've got all the gear, so you literally could just come in, record, take your SD card home, or you can hire one of our engineers to cut it for you. So
you're doing it right. I love it.
Yeah. I'm trying. You're helping me. I realize.
So listen, if you're – go ahead, sorry.
No, I realize you don't have to spend $1 million to start one.
Look, if you're local, for real, if you're local, Southern California, LA, Culver City, whatever, hit Lon up, rent the space. If you want to do a podcast, you can rent it by the hour, you can rent it long term, whatever.
Yeah.
Come in and do whatever you want.
Or you can be in there to talk about, live stream your own content. Mm-hmm. You can teach. We have teachers teaching lessons virtually on there. You can also rent practice space for, you know, for musicians out there. And then, of course, we do lessons. We've got the DJ camps with DJ Hoppe. We've got for adults, too. So we got a lot going on. We have our new ensemble that's starting. So any adults out there looking to play with other adults, we have a Sunday ensemble that's starting and our rock band.
Hell yeah.
So we're just doing it. One foot in front of the other.
That's it. Every day.
I mean, there's only two people in the band, but.
4 feet tall. I love you. Thank you. For real. Thank you for coming on and doing all this.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Vote for Lana.
Vote for Lana Negrete. Santa Monica City Council. As always, RyanSickler.com. Ryan Sickler on all social media. We'll talk to you all next week.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.